The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The construction company responsible for building the new National Children's Hospital has hit back at Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly's claims that they are holding the state to ransom. It follows allegations by the health minister that the company were resourcing the project at less than half of what was required. He also accused them of attempting to extract as much money from the Irish taxpayer as possible. The comments, which were revealed by the Sunday Independent, have been described by BAM as misleading, ill-informed and incorrect. On Taoiseach Simon Harris in New York for a meeting with the United Nations had this to say about the controversy.
I think the Minister for Health is entirely correct in the approach that he's taking to this issue. We as a state have invested a lot of money in making sure we have a world-class hospital for our children. It's been described by the head of the HSE today as one of the best healthcare facilities in the world when we can get it open. What we need now, and I don't want to say anything overly inflammatory here, but what we need now is for the job to be finished. And what we absolutely need is to make sure that maximum pressure is put on all involved to finish the job. And I think it's a perfectly reasonable approach for the Minister for Health to take, to say to coalition leaders that he has concerns here in relation to, things not being carried out as fast as they should, if I may put it like that. And I think that's quite an appropriate thing for him to do. We have a very good National Paediatric Hospital Development Board, a lot of expertise on that, and they'll have the full support of the government in making sure that all aspects of the contract are used, and also in making sure that the message goes out very clearly here. Ireland isn't going to be any sort of pushover in relation to any sort of additional claims or the likes that get lobbed in, and we have seen considerable success from the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board in challenging claims to date, and we'll continue in that vein, getting this world-class hospital open urgently. It's going to be transformational for children's health, but also making sure that the points Minister Donnelly has made are addressed to.
Now, we're joined by Gráinne Nihei, news reporter with the Press Association. She's been covering the story, like myself, for years. And also in studio with me is David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD for Waterford, party spokesperson on health. We'll be talking to him in a moment. But first, Gráinne, good morning.
Hello.
This saga is endless.
It is. It's kind of hard to sum up to people that there is a fresh row over costs in stronger terms that reflect how deep the row has gone. BAM themselves have said it's clear that there is a complex and construction dispute now between the party where there is little agreement over what is fueling delays. I think one of the more stark things about the minister's letter that emerged in the Irish Independent yesterday is the level of mistrust there with the contractor, and that they are also need to work with the contractor to actually get it finished. BAM, as you said, refutes a lot of the claims and said that the main driver of delays in their eyes is the amount of changes. They said that there were over 23,000 changes to the design that have delayed the project, while the Department of Health and the board are saying these are not substantial changes to the material design of the hospital.
Well, if you remember, they were putting in, was it some sort of fire prevention or fire mitigation into rooms as an afterthought? And that is a fundamental flaw in the original design, I would have thought.
BAM make reference to, for example, in their statement yesterday that there was a compliance audit done, and that after this, they had to replace more than 2,000 smoke detectors, sprinkler heads, as part of the design, and that this was an enormous financial cost. But they don't get into whether it was part of the design or not, that it was just found as part of the compliance audit, that they had to change it.
Whoever specced the inappropriate equipment would be presumably able to answer that question. You know, if the... Because sometimes the state changes rules. You know, we saw about all the apartment blocks that were built in Dublin over the years that were not up to snuff in terms of fire prevention. And sometimes rules change and therefore standards have to change. So who takes the hit when something like that happens?
This is the question, and this goes back to the timeline. Because this has been dragged out over such a long period of time, there is a greater window for things to change. Now, I visited the hospital when it was under construction in 2021, and they gave examples of some of the things that were changed. For example, that made windows bigger, or spaces where windows were meant to go were made bigger to allow more natural light into the building. So it's not all about, as you said, fire safety regulations, which are a must. There were things to make this, as we have heard again and again, a state-of-the-art hospital. Another thing that was said to us at the time was that, you know, this hospital's modern hospitals or modern public infrastructure projects are usually built for a 50 to 60 year time frame to last that long.
Yeah.
But they are claiming that this will last up to 100 years. So they are trying to build it future. They're basically trying to make it as long lasting.
Yeah, but there's a very simple thing, for example. Back in 2015, when planning permission was given, EVs were kind of just a light bulb in the head of some car designers. And then, of course, we have the EV revolution. And we're told that we're going to have a million of them on our streets by 2030, which is not going to happen. But we're going to have a lot of them. Now, the whole car parking regime for EVs is very different to the normal car parking regime. You have to have a sprinkler system that doesn't put out the EV fire, because that's very difficult to do. But it keeps all the vehicles around cool under jets of water until the EV fire burns out. You know, if that rule came in, BAM would have to change probably the nature of that car parking sprinkler system, because times have changed. Now, the client says, they say that design evolves through construction to allow for the integration of BAM's procured systems and products. And they say this is normal on every public works contract. Now, you know, I don't know if it is normal that if you do major changes, like changing window sizes and so on, that this is normal and should not be costed.
No, well, I think you've hit on something that is the key to this dispute, which is what is normal and what is not for a project of this size. BAM would say that the project is so huge, so the costs are huge and the delays are huge. The government are saying this is not normal. A way of kind of building a project to the spec and the level and the standard that is expected. And because it is healthcare, because it is children's healthcare, there are a lot of standards to meet. I think the one of the things that a lot of these questions we will only be able to answer after the hospital is open, to be honest. But at the moment, they are both contesting what the other one is saying and saying the other one bears more responsibility than they're letting on here. One of the other issues, it is so detailed, this brief, because the hospital is so huge and so catered for you know, all types of different needs. But one of the things, for example, was they had to have a huge lift to allow for, you know, trolleys to go into it. But they also needed to build, they realized, a second lift, because if the first one breaks down, they needed a backup one, essentially. And those kind of changes are what really have weighed down
I think. What daw suddenly realised you need a backup lift? In News Talk here, we've two lifts, and we're not a very comprehensive high-tech building, but we've two lifts because if one goes down, the other keeps functioning. That's kind of normal thinking.
One of the, you know, I think some of those issues are reasonable in the sense that yes, you need that. There's no quibbling over can we do without it. You just, the hospital needs it. But I think, for example, there are things that have been done. For one of the things that Brian Stanley said to me a couple of years ago is that yes, it will be state of the art, but did it need to be? Did we need to go with the biggest design, the best design, or should we have gone with a more middling Goldilocks option, which was in between, kind of the cheapest and the most expensive, that would have been functional and not state of the art, actually? And again, that is a question we cannot answer until the hospital is built up and running, and clinicians, children and their families can answer that question better than we can.
What about the rows between the two? The government says no more money, but equally, the Taoiseach is saying we've got to get this finished. Everybody's got to do their part, be it BAM or be it the children's healthcare client. Everyone's got to do their job to get this thing open. But the state is saying we're not going to write any more checks. How realistic is that?
I know. This is, I think, one of the more significant parts of what came out yesterday. The government saying there is no more money, because realistically, the hospital needs to be completed. And, you know, if BAM are saying this is going to take a bit more time, which we understood, and from the Sunday Independence reporting that they were saying the timeline is pushed out again, then that will cost more money. That is part of the reason why the cost has gone up, is because of the timeline being extended. So if that happens, what is going to happen? You know, are we going to get to a kind of a standoff here?
So we have a big empty building that is not complete, and therefore, because the state won't write the cheque, it can never be complete. It becomes a white elephant on the campus of St. James. I mean, that's
it's already a white elephant project. But I think that the question, I think the government will have to fund whatever costs are required, and then be reflective or contest them maybe after the fact if they wanted to. But there is no way that they can pull out now when we are somewhat close to a finish line.
Now, I'm interested in what other people have done. And in Atlanta, they built a hospital in half the time. And it's a fabulous hospital with 4,000 car parking spaces, 20 acres of parkland around it. They've been rehearsing for 2 years the transition from the old hospital to the new hospital. And what will happen is Eggleston's Hospital Emergency Department, the old one, will close at 7 a.m. on September the 29th. And the new hospital's 24/7 level one pediatric trauma centre opens at 7 a.m. the same day. In other words, one closes down at 7 a.m, the other opens up. They've been rehearsing for 2 years for the transition. So that tells you something about the complication. And that's from one hospital to one hospital. We're going to be doing three hospitals into one hospital, and
on a phased basis.
How is that going to happen?
It sounds very utopian. It sounds very, very, and there are lessons that the government have admitted that there are lessons on how to fund big infrastructure projects from this. I looked into this a couple of years ago about white elephant projects, and there are ways around it. There are stop gaps that you can put in place. So one is, for example, you give a bonus to the developer or the workers involved if it is finished on time and on spec. And that is It is, but it is an important lesson for the future. And I think that whatever fixes for the National Children's Hospital, I think Ireland, because it is a small country, a smaller pool to fish from for contractors in general, we need to kind of have a more robust system for these types of infrastructure projects. Another thing is that this is not all, it's not always the case that a contractor will pitch a lower price to get the contract. Psychologically, we are quite optimistic about our abilities. If you think about, if you're doing a small project and you'll say, that'll take me an hour, and it takes you 3 hours, that kind of thing can be inflated at a company-wide level or at a national level. So what happens is just things take longer than people imagine. And a stopgap for that is to create a system whereby, okay, if things do take longer, then there will be an arrangement in place for how those costs will be split.
Well, the Dunkettle roundabout was done on time and under budget. Now, the trick there is to have a good budget and have a good time scale. And then you will a bit like a Ryanair flight arriving on time. Anyway, Grainne, we leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Just a postscript, that Atlanta hospital will have more beds than the National Paediatric Hospital here, and at a cost of $1 billion less. So there you are. David Cullinan, you've been listening askance to all of this.
I think your listeners have as well, Pat, and unfortunately for the last 9 years, it's Groundhog Day. Here we go again with the National Children's Hospital. We've had 17 completion dates given by the board and by government in relation to the completion and the opening of this hospital. Every single one of those completion dates has come and gone. All the final costs have been exceeded. And I listened very carefully to what the Taoiseach Simon Harris said. This is a Taoiseach that presided over a bike shed that cost €330,000, a hospital billions over budget. And then he says, we're no pushover. It's laughable. This is a project that the government have lost control over. And now what we have is open warfare between the board, who are developing the hospital on the one hand, and the main contractor. And I would say the truth is somewhere in the middle, Pat, in all of this. The contractor is saying that there's been 24,000 design changes since the original contract. That's delaying the project. And now we have the board saying that the contractor is not deploying the appropriate resources, and as the minister is alleging, trying to extract money from the state. Mm. The reality is that the government have taken a hands-off approach. This has been a crisis for 9 years. The minister should be holding weekly meetings with the board, because what the minister gets and what the government gets before they sign any cheques is a programme of works update. And they've got many of them. That sets out what the final cost will be, what the estimated completion date will be.
And they keep writing that cheque.
They do. And then, but what it also includes is what resources are needed and need to be deployed to meet all of the targets set in that programme.
Now, BAM are denying that they've under-resourced the project. They say they've enough people. And anyone who's built a house or even an extension knows that, you know, you can't really have the joiner, the kitchen installer, the plumber, the electrician all in the small space at the one time. You know, that it's not necessarily possible to throw loads of workers at a project, because they get in each other's way. And you've got to phase everything.
Yes, it's not just one contractor. There are multiple contractors. There's an engineering contractor, a mechanical contractor. The main contractor is BAM. But my point is that we have this he said, she said, this war of words now between the board and the contractor. And all the while, the minister is sitting on his hands. He's taking a hands-off approach. My point about the programme of works update is that that sets out what resources are required, what manpower, what human resources are deployed to meet the targets which are set in that programme of works.
But the minister doesn't, you know, he'll pardon me saying this, know enough about it. I mean, the minister can't be master of the detail of this.
I'm not saying the minister should be the master of the detail. I'm saying, Pat, that given the level of crisis in relation to this hospital, given all of the cost overruns, given all of the completion dates which have come and gone, the minister needs to be holding the board to account on a weekly basis and seeking updates. So if I was the Minister for Health, I'd be saying, hang on a second here. I have a programme of work updates. It said that X number of resources are going to be deployed. Have they been deployed this week, last month? That's the level of oversight that we need, because there has to be political accountability. The minister and the government signed off on €500 million more of taxpayers' money. And there is no doubt this will cost more. I also read the statement from BAM where it says that the conciliator awarded them an additional €107 million because of some of the delays and the design changes. So this is
isn't that being challenged by the board?
Yes, and I think ultimately the board told us when they were before the Oireachtas Health Committee, and they will be before the committee again this Wednesday, that they will see the contractor in court. So ultimately, I think the final cost of this will be decided by the High Court, I would imagine. But at this point in time, the real victims here are children, Pat. We have to, first of all, understand what this is. It's a new National Children's Hospital. We have children with scoliosis and spina bifida who need the additional capacity. We have children who had their procedures cancelled last year because of lack of capacity and the clash between scheduled and unscheduled care. I want that hospital built as quickly as possible. We're now being told that not a single child will be treated in that hospital until at the earliest 2026. We know it's going to take about 9 months to commission the hospital once the handover is done. So the losers in this are the taxpayer and the children. The minister needs not take a hands-off approach, get actively involved, and rather than commentating, which he has done, on what the board are doing or what BAM is doing, they signed the cheques, they have to take responsibility. And as I said, the Taoiseach's comments are laughable. I mean, the Taoiseach saying this state is not a pushover when we signed a contract that had no design in it. We've paid €1 billion or more over the odds, 1.5 billion exactly. And also a bike shed that cost €330,000. It's laughable. And this government can't build houses, can't build a bike shed, and can't build a hospital, quite evidently.
We'll bring you some of the texts now. Absolutely pathetic, ministers and Harris now only blaming BAM when they were the clowns throwing money, our money, at them. Why does Simon Harris not come in from any criticism for this debacle? He was the minister who signed the contract for this hospital without an agreed design and without an agreed budget. That's from Cormac and Swords. Perfect is the enemy of the good. By the time the hospital opens, it'll be too small for our population. I'm sick of world class. Parents of sick kids just want care. There's nothing that infuriates me more than the government using the line, there are lessons to be learnt. The fact is, they never learn the lessons, any lessons. That's from Claire. The Children's Hospital staff still has 2 years to practice the changeover, maybe more. Well, you can't practice the changeover until you have access to the building. That's the truth of it. As was well debated by yourself, Pat, the location was a no-no from day one. A greenfield site was the appropriate place. That's from Jim. I worked as a quantity surveyor, says Ray, on a hospital new build in England during 1980s. Similar delays and cost overruns. I'm not sure they would be as significant as our cost overruns, going from 550 to maybe 2.2 billion, multiplied by four, the cost. At this stage, a blind man can see that this project has gone for so long, it might as well be a milking parlour as far as the public purse is concerned. That's from Cormac. So there you are. David, thank you very much for joining us. David Cullinan, the Sinn Féin spokesperson on health. Now come.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.